coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of studies on the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians. In former studies, we considered the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians. Now we begin with the second letter. Just to refresh our memory, Thessalonica was the capital of the Roman province of Macedonia and the residence of the Roman proconsul. By the first mid-century, the population of the city numbered about 200,000, making it the largest city in Macedonia. Thessalonica played an important commercial role because of its harbor and its location. On his second missionary journey, the Apostle Paul and his companions Silvanus and Timothy worked in Thessalonica and a church was founded. At the beginning, the life of the church was vigorous, marked by Christian joy in spite of severe trials. Active faith, brotherly love, and intense hope in the immediate return of Christ were some of the outstanding features of the Thessalonians. Some years after Paul had worked in Thessalonica, possibly in the year 51 AD, he wrote a letter to the believers encouraging them to remain firm in the faith, to grow in brotherly love, to be steadfast in hope, and to live a God-pleasing life. Not long after the first letter had been written, perhaps just a few months later, Paul wrote the second letter to the Thessalonians. According to reports that somehow reached Paul while he was in Corinth, the Christians of Thessalonica were still standing firm in spite of suffering persecution, but false notions concerning the coming of the Lord were causing trouble in the church. Paul's second letter is his answer to this situation in the church of Thessalonica. So Paul's purposes in writing are basically these. First, to encourage persecuted believers to remain faithful. Second, to exhort the Thessalonians to be steadfast and to work for a living. And third, to correct some misunderstandings concerning the Lord's return. Paul's authorship of 2 Thessalonians has been seriously questioned. Objections are based on the following factors. 1. The second letter largely repeats the first, and this indicates that it is a forgery. However, it should be noted that the material occurs in a different order from that in the first letter. A second objection raised against Paul's authorship is this. Scholars argued that the second letter teaches a different eschatology, that is, the last things to happen in history and the return of the Lord, from that of the first letter. However, it should be noted that Paul simply defines sharply and expounds certain aspects of the second coming of the Lord. A close examination of the letter favors Paul's authorship. After these notes of introduction, now we can go into the text of the letter as such. The opening words of the second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 read as follows. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the author identifies himself, Paul. He was the man who formerly persecuted the Church of Jesus Christ. But the Lord appeared to him, called him to faith, and commissioned him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul traveled throughout the world known in those days to preach the gospel. Thessalonica was one of the places Paul went to. Silvanus was a companion of Paul on the missionary journeys. Timothy was also a precious work companion of Paul. Silvanus and Timothy helped Paul to found the Thessalonian church. Both Silvanus and Timothy appear with Paul as co-authors of the second letter to the Thessalonians. The letter is addressed to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The church consists of people who believe in Jesus, but the church is rooted in and founded on God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As close as the relationship of God the Father and the Son Jesus is, so close is the union of the church and the Lord Jesus. Paul uses his typical greeting in the letter. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace is the source of all real blessings, and peace is the result of these blessings. So Paul greets the Thessalonians as fellow members of the church and blesses them with God's grace and peace. I hope that God's grace has reached you, dear listener, and that you have been called to faith in Jesus Christ. As a result, you enjoy peace from God through the forgiveness of sins granted by Jesus Christ. After the author and the addresses of the letter are identified, follows a prayer of thanksgiving. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4, we read as follows. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. Paul and his companions feel compelled to give thanks to God for the brothers in Thessalonica. Which were the reasons for giving thanks to God? Paul makes it clear when he says that the faith of the Thessalonians is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of them for one another is increasing. This is so beautiful. We wish this could be said about all Christians and all churches. Faith is a gift from God created by the Holy Spirit through the Gospel and the Holy Baptism. Through these means, God also makes faith grow. God matures and strengthens the confidence and trust of the believers in Jesus as the only Savior. The fact that the Thessalonians were growing in faith more and more indicates that they listened and meditated constantly on the Gospel of Jesus Christ. They certainly also celebrated the sacrament of Holy Communion, through which faith is sustained, made firm, and strong. Love goes hand in hand with faith. Love flows from faith like heat is produced by fire. Since the Thessalonians were strong in faith, they also produced brotherly love. They supported each other, reaching out to those in need, offering a shoulder to share the weight of burdens, encouraging the disappointed, and so on. After all, the conditions the Thessalonians lived in were challenging. They faced persecution and afflictions. Under these conditions, faith and love are put to the test. The temptation to give up the Christian faith can be strong when suffering and afflictions are severe. However, because the Thessalonians used the proper means to grow in faith and love, they were able to endure persecution and afflictions. Paul commends the Thessalonians because they became an example of steadfastness and faith to other churches. The Thessalonians stand as an encouraging example for us too. Our faith and love are constantly defied. We are tempted to give in when afflictions engulf us. We tend to overlook our neighbors in need of support. We encircle ourselves in selfishness. The need to grow in faith and increase in brotherly love is evident and vital. The way forward is to read, to hear, to study God's Word personally, in church and in groups. Make of the Bible your daily companion, because through the Word of God, faith receives the nutrients necessary to grow stronger and stronger, and love is given the vitamins to increase and thrive. After giving thanks to God for the faith and love of the Thessalonians, Paul brings words of promise and comfort to them, especially because of afflictions they were bearing. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints, and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was belief. The Thessalonians were suffering. The powers of evil were trying to disturb the faith and love of the Thessalonians. Paul consoles the Thessalonians, assuring them that tribulation is part of God's plan of history as the last day draws nearer. Afflictions and the steadfastness in faith of the Thessalonians were clear signs of the righteous judgment of God. God provided strength to endure, and this gift in turn produced spiritual and moral character. It also proved that God was on their side and gave a warning to their persecutors. The Thessalonians were suffering for the kingdom of God. Suffering is at times an aspect of the Father's gracious discipline. It is a way in which he shapes and confirms his children, thus preparing them for the glory of his kingdom. God himself makes us worthy through Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Paul states, God considers it just. He will punish unrepentant sinners who inflict sufferings on believers. This may not happen now in time, but it certainly will happen at the end of times, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. On that day, those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus will be called in the presence of Christ to give account of what they have done. God will punish wickedness. Those who caused affliction will suffer the eternal punishment of eternal destruction. That is, they will suffer forever in hell. They will be shut out from the presence of the Lord. There is nothing more terrifying than to be shut out from the presence of the Lord and to be separated from God. This eternal separation is the penalty of sin and the essence of hell. This message announced by Paul was comforting to the Thessalonians who endured persecution and suffering. It brought them relief, knowing that the Lord will pay back trouble to those who troubled them. The day the Lord will return, he will be glorified in his saints, to be marveled at among all who have believed, because their testimony was believed. We may wonder whether injustice, suffering, tribulation, and persecution caused by unbelievers will go unpunished forever. They will not. God is just, and he will call to his presence all human beings, and they will be required to give account of their lives. The believers will be sheltered in Christ's grace and will be absolved. By God's mercy, they will inherit eternal life in heaven. Finally, Paul tells the Thessalonians that he and his work companions are praying for the Thessalonians. This is what we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. To this end we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer was an essential practice of the apostle, as it is for all Christians. Prayer does not know distance. Paul was physically far away from the Thessalonians, but he was close to them in prayer. What did Paul ask in prayer for them? He asked that God may make the Thessalonians worthy of his calling. Only God can proclaim and make a person worthy by forgiving sins and declaring the believer righteous on account of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Paul also prays that God, by his power, may fulfill every resolve for good of the Thessalonians and every work of their faith. God initiates and fulfills every good resolve for good and every work of faith in the life of believers. What Paul is asking in prayer will eventually aim to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Let us learn with Paul to pray that God may keep us and all Christians in the faith and bless every good resolve and every work of faith. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.